reading to you from the 24th chapter of Luke, and with the 44th verse. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to preach ever since. Oh, friends, listen. There's nothing in all this world that excites my heart more than sit down with women and men in prison and tell them that there's hope, that Christ truly loves them just like he loves you tonight. Well, listen, I hope you'll just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and begin with the 19th verse. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So he returned from the following him and took the pair of oxen, sacrificed him, and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Well, friends, listen, let me tell you what. This is called the call of Elisha. Well, you see, friends, Elijah was at the end of the trail. What a great prophet of God. What a man. He'd been through a lot. Believe me, he had. Well, the mighty prophet of God neared to close to his ministry, and he challenged that spineless, wicked king Ahab and Jezebel. Why, friend, did you know he prayed with such power that he stopped the rain for 6 months? I'd say that's pretty good praying. And he became the second man in space after Enoch. He was so important that he met Moses and Jesus at the Transfiguration. Well, Elijah was commissioned to choose Elisha as his successor, and I read in verse 17, "And it shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu, shall be put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha, shall put to death." Well, friends, listen, things begin to happen. Elisha was a very successful farmer. Hey, you know what? I got a soft spot in my heart for farmers. If they raise wheat, cattle, cherries, peaches, whatever. Well, here he was out in that old field. Man alive, can you imagine? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen when Elijah arrived. You know, when I was a little boy, there was a man called Markman, and he had the steepest ground wheat ground in out there in where I lived in Wasco County. And you know what that guy, he was so cheap that he would get a bunch of drills to drill wheat. He had mules. That horses couldn't do it. He had mules. And then he would take another team of mules behind him, and he'd put a harrow behind that, and he'd put a rope around his waist and go up over those mountains. I'm telling you, he was taking his life in his own hands, because, you know, mules can spook just like horses. Anyway, here he was. Old Elijah was just happy to do what he's doing, and then he noticed someone coming down the road, and that was Elijah. Well, he was evidently successful and loved doing the things in a big way. Now, his life would be turned around, and he would never be the same. Friends, listen. I'm always talking about a call from God from every Christian. Every born-again person has a call from God. No way around it. There's no options. You are called of God the minute you say yes to Jesus. Friends, listen. I was so happy after I accepted Christ. I joined this church, my wife and I and my kids. We had such a wonderful Sunday school teacher, and I thought he was so smart. Well, I was dumb, that's why, but he was a good teacher, and he helped me a lot in my baby walk with the Lord. But I remember for a year, I really thought I'd died and went to heaven. I was so happy, and I met some of the most wonderful Christian friends I ever had in my life. See, I didn't know Christians were kind. I thought they were a bunch of stuck-up idiots, but I found out that they were pretty sweet. And they took my wife and I under their wing. Of course, as you know, I was a town drunk. They knew about it. But they forgave me and they accepted me because they knew that I'd repented of my sins and come to Christ. Well, I was out in the north end of Seattle, and I was putting roofs. And I was a shingling, roofing contractor. And boy, I was slapping on those shingles, and friends, it was so real, I had to stop. I really had to stop. And I said, Lord, what do you want for my life? And right then and there, God called me to preach the gospel. I was never so stunned, so shocked in my entire life. Cecil Moe, a preacher? When you're got a three-word vocabulary, duh, 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 and I'm going to have to preach? And I was scared, I want you to know, the same time that I was on that roof praying and asking God for direction, my wife was down in the basement washing dirty clothes. And all of a sudden she said, I just fell on my knees and I started to cry. And she said, I don't know what you want for my husband's life and for me, but Lord, thy will be done. Oh, I'm telling you, see, God worked together. Friends, don't ever tell me a man calls a man to preach and doesn't call his wife to go with him, because he does. And you know, a woman could be such a blessing to a preacher. Oh my, I tell you, I wouldn't had half the things happen in my life had it not been for my wife. She stuck with me. She knew I was bullheaded. She knew I was stubborn. But she stuck with me, and she encouraged me. And boy, howdy, she helped me out of a lot of scrapes. See, as a young preacher, I didn't know apples from cherries. But I knew Jesus. I knew I was called. But I didn't have seminary. 3 years from the time I accepted Jesus, I was pastoring my first church. Is it any wonder that our convention looked down their nose at me? Said, one day that guy's out there a town drunk, and now he's up there in a pulpit. Well, wasn't Saul of Tarsus killing people and putting them in prison and beating them? And the next thing you know, he's out preaching. They said, whoa, hey, we can't listen to that guy. Well, that's why I guess our people didn't like me very well. But I don't care. I decided I would follow Jesus. The best decision I ever made in my entire life. Now it says in verse 19, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he was with the 12, and Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. Oh, boy, now things are going to begin to happen. The Lord knew Elisha before Elijah arrived. Well, listen, it tells us in Ephesians 1:4, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Before the foundations of the world, God was calling Cecil Moe to preach. God was calling Billy Graham to preach. God was calling you to be a deacon. God was calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. God was calling you to be a singer or a musician. But don't you ever come to me and say, well, Cecil, you're dead wrong. God never called me. Well, if he didn't call you, friend, you better check up and see where your salvation experience is. Well, the Lord used Elijah to tell Elisha of his call. Listen, friends, sometimes God uses servants to fulfill his will. We should be open to the ministry of the servants of God. You know, the Lord called Elisha to service when he was busy. God calls often demands that we leave worldly success behind to serve him. Now, I want you to know, I sure did not know that God wanted me to be a preacher until that day that he called me. Oh, listen, I've heard testimonies of preacher boys who said, I run from God for 10 years. I think the most startling testimony I heard was in San Francisco. I went to a church one night, and this plumbing contractor got up, and he said he wanted to share his testimony. Well, now here's what happened. He said, you know, I felt a tremendous call to preach the gospel. And I said, Lord, I don't have any money in the bank. We're renting our house. Let me go out and go to work and my business and make the money to put in the bank so we can go out and I'll build a new house so my wife will have a place to live. Well, he said, I did it. Took me 2 years. Well, he said, I told the Lord, I'm ready now. He said, it was dead silence. God said, I don't need you no more. Friends, when he calls, we have to react now, not 6 months later. How do you know you're going to be alive 6 months from now? No, you sure don't. Well, the call of God always creates a conflict in our lives. Now, God's call demands a decision to follow him. Not the church, but to follow him. Moses must leave his sheep. Peter must leave his boats and his fishing. And Elijah's many problems as he considered God's call. Well, first, the problem of his parents. The loved ones are often involved in a decision. And the problem of his position. Who will tend the farm? Friends, listen, I remember, I recall that night in Seattle, Washington, I got on that Greyhound bus and I kissed my wife and my children goodbye. And I was going down to San Francisco to go to work for this roofing company so I could go to seminary. It never did happen. But I'll never forget how heavy my heart was telling my wife and kids goodbye. I didn't know when I'd see them again. And I'd get on the phone almost every night and I'd call my wife. Well, our phone bill got so big that I finally said, you are going to have to come down with the children. I was called of God, and so were you and the family. So that's what happened. And they got the stuff packed up, and they come down to San Francisco. And I remember, dear friends, to show you how God operates. I told my wife, I said, you know, when I get $100 on the books, I'm going to go over to Berkeley and enroll in seminary. Well, it just rained and rained and rained, and I never could get $100 together. I went in one day, it was raining, and I said to the paymaster, how much money do I have coming? He said, $40. I said, okay, pay me. What are you doing? I said, I'm going over to Berkeley, and I'm going to enroll in seminary. Now, I went home. I told my wife, I said, pack up. We're going to go to Berkeley. We went across the bridge. We drove up and down the streets looking for something, for a job. We bought a paper, and we never could find anything. And so all of a sudden, I saw a little sign that says, roofers wanted. Just a little hole in the wall. Well, I went up and turned around and came back and walked in. I said, are you looking for some roofers? He said, yes, I am. In fact, the matter, he said, I'm looking for a foreman. Can you run a crew? I said, of course. I had my own business. Well, I said, you're hired. My foreman's in prison. That's a true story. And I went to work. We went down and got a little, it was kind of a motel, a little bigger than a motel. And we rented, and I went to work. Well, one day, friends, one day I just had to go over to the seminary and talk to the professors. I walked into this Dr. Mustang's office. I can't think of his name now. Walked in the office, and this lady said, do you have an appointment to see Dr. So-and-so? I said, no, as a matter of fact, I don't. Well, I said, he's getting ready to fly to South America. I don't think he'll take time to see you. Well, I said, check with him anyway. And he went in there. Well, I can give him 5 minutes. And I walked into that Dr. So-and-so's office, and it seemed like he looked right through me. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I'm one of your preacher boys from Seattle, Washington. How much education do you have? I said, high school and 3 years of business college and carpenter school. That's not enough. Go back and get an education. Come on back later. And I'm telling you, I walked out of there a whip pup. I remember sitting down in my old car. I laid my head on the wheel, and I just wept. And I said, well, God, it don't look like I'll ever be able to go to school. But I'm still going to preach. I'm still going to preach. Well, dear friends, I'll tell you for sure, that was an experience I'll never forget. But see, God is faithful. God knew that I was going to face that problem. And the problem of Elisha's passion for power, he loved the field full of hired hands, the battle that many people lose. Now, listen to what happened to the rich young ruler found in Luke 18. And a certain ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your mother and father. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. Well, he lied right there. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have, all your possessions, and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Oh, my friends, will you choose worldly things and lose God's best for your life? Listen, let me tell you a true story. I told it one time. When I was going to Bible college in Riverside, California, I had a roof for a company. I was a foreman for a roofing company, and I went to school at night. And I remember one day I got a phone call from a fella who was he worked for a big roofing, the manufacturer. Anyway, manufacturer rep. He said, Cecil, I want you to call this gentleman in Nevada. I think he's got something. He's looking for a man just like you. I got on the phone, and I called this man in Nevada, and he said, well, Cecil, I have three big lumber companies in Nevada, and I want to start roofing companies in all three of them, and I'm looking for a man that could handle it. I'm gonna give you a brand new pickup. I'm going to give you a radio in your truck, and I forget how many dollars he offered me. It was something that I've always, always, always wanted. Oh, I wanted that job. I wanted that all ever since I was a roofing contractor. I said, all right, I'll call this man in the morning. But I said, I've got to pray about it first. And I went back to my house and I prayed and I prayed. And I was hoping and hoping that God would say, Cecil, this is what you need to do. Give up this foolishness and go out there and make some a living for your family. Because we were not making a very good living. But you know what? God said, no, Cecil. If you take that job, you'll have to turn your back on me. And friends, that was the hardest decision I guess I ever made in my life. I called a man. I said, thank you so much for the offer, but I can't do it. I cannot do it. Well, Elijah's concentration that emerged from his conflict, Elisha decided that God would be first in his life. God's call was more important than a position or power. And listen, Elisha's surrender would give him the position of a prophet of God, and what could be more than that? Elisha made his commitment public, and he burned his plow in the field and had a barbecue for his workmen. The neighborhood would know that there was a new prophet on the block. Let me ask you, friends, how will you respond to God's call in your life? You say, Cecil, don't you? Man, are you crazy? I'm 75 years old. Well, I'm 82. And I'm still preaching Jesus. I'm still going to prison. I'm still going to rescue missions. Oh, I love to do what I do. Is the pay good? Nope. Pay's not good at all. There ain't no pay. But I'll tell you, dear friends, I don't work for pay. I work out of a call. Am I perfect? Shoot, no. Have I made mistakes? Oh, man, have I made mistakes. I don't know how my first church put up with me. My preaching must have been terrible. Not much better now. But I do know this. I'm so glad that I said yes to Jesus. Every morning when I get up, I thank him for my call. Let me ask you, will you count all things as loss for Christ? Will you publicly declare your surrender to him? Oh, friends, listen to me. Bow your head to me right now. Oh, God, there's somebody listening tonight who's been stubborn and bullheaded and just not going to do it. Tonight, Lord, may they put their all on the altar and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got it tugging at your heart and you don't know Jesus, you're not born again, you need to bow your head right now with me and pray this most powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I commit. I admit that I'm a lost, hell-bound sinner. And tonight I'm repenting. I'm turning my back on the old way of life, and I'm opening my heart to receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and write and ask for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.